Like to call to order the Tuesday, December 4th, 2018 meeting of the Dairy Township Board Supervisors. If everyone would please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the Township of Terry to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Joe, may I have a roll call, please?
Member Rick Samuda?
Here.
Member Susan Court?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer?
Here. I'm going to change protocol a little bit this evening in terms of visitor public comments. Some of you in the audience may be here for the purpose of discussing the PP&L power line rebuild. I'm going to invite the public to come forward and provide their thoughts and comments for the first session of visitor public comments on a topic, any topic other than the PP&L power line rebuild. That will be our first item on the agenda this evening. And following the discussion on that, then I'm going to open the floor for public comment on the PP&L line rebuild. I think it just makes more sense to have public comment on that issue closer in time to the discussion on that particular agenda item. So with that in mind, I'm going to call for visitor public comments. Anybody wishing to address the board supervisors on a topic other than the PP&L power line rebuild, I invite you to come to the podium, state your name and address, and if you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it'd be greatly appreciated. Also, for housekeeping purposes, anyone who has cell phones, I'd greatly appreciate if you could mute those cell phones so that we're not interrupted tonight by various ringtones. Please. Special.
I'm Teresa Peschel. I live over at 48 Half Street over by the Reese Factory. And I had a question about our new Restaurant Row complex. There are a number of the original driveways alongside Chocolate Avenue, and they're still there. They're the like bump outs of paving. And are those going to be filled in and I hope landscaped with trees, or are those pieces of pavement going to be left as sort of pieces of pavement that stick into the grassy tree lawn?
So a quick answer to that, Teresa, we're in the middle of a streetscape project and the contract has started, and so that whole curb line will all change in the spring. So there'll be some turn lanes and there'll be new crosswalks, and so that all will be changing in the spring.
All right, and then the other question I have about that complex is, now that I'm actually walking around over there, they are missing a sidewalk. When you are taking the back road off of Ridge Road, if you are walking along that, you have your choice of either walking in the road with the line of traffic or walking in the muddy grass. This runs parallel to the parking garage. And is the developer at some point going to put in some kind of a sidewalk so that, as a pedestrian, I do not have to share the road with a car?
Well, so that's an interesting question. Started the day today at 7:15 with a resident and Chuck Emmerich and Lauren Zumbrun walking the development to see some deficiencies that are there. And so, you know, I think the first thing is that we want the development to get finished. And we're recognizing that it's not perfect in every regard in the rear. So that's one issue that we're looking at, saying, you know, how are we going to address that? So, you know, there's a lot of great things to development, but there's some things that do need to be fixed.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
I'd offer too that if you continue to see other things that you think need improved, just please send us an email. We can make sure the developer's aware of it.
All right.
Is there anyone else wishing to address the board?
Hi, Brian Link, 230 West 3. So I missed the budget hearing, and I'm going to miss the approval hearing, so I'm here now. I saw that the new budget, I think it's, well, I don't know all the details, but I just wanted to caution again for the new rec center. I think the borrowing against the debt capacity is somewhere in the 90% range. And, you know, there are a lot of risks once contract's awarded, once the bonds are sold. So the township's going to be really tight after that. And if there's some unforeseen, you know, geotechnical conditions, some issues since, you know, the Separations Act, you can't kind of control the schedule. So there's delay costs and that sort of thing. I feel like I've talked about this a lot, and I just want there to be caution going into that, understanding that it would be very difficult to sell bonds when we're that close to the limit if there is, you know, emergency funding that's needed. The other issue is the belt tightening. When PFM presented a couple weeks ago, months ago, there was some discussion about, well, we could reduce the tax increase, property tax increase, with kind of robust belt tightening. I know a new township manager just came on, but I don't know if there has been much belt tightening now. I don't know if you're saving the lot of belt tightening for later. But, you know, I just think before we kind of make this commitment, before the township takes on all this debt, whether or not there is room to kind of find efficiencies in the current budget, and whether the township has the capacity to take on unforeseen circumstances, either on this project or going forward when we're borrowing that much against our legal limit. So thanks again. Hopefully there's some caution going forward.
Thank you.
Linda Iyer, 2321 Rally Road. As Mr. Glaze just mentioned, I've been totaling the outstanding debt as proposed in the 2019 budget, and it comes up to 91.1% of the borrowing. That's a big number. That's a very concerning number. The debt service burden that this community is going to have is going to become a significant piece of what everyone here is concerned about, what our taxes are going to be paying for, and so on. And I did attend the budget hearing, and there were no public comments during that budget hearing. And I've been communicating with Ms. Henry and getting a lot of answers, and I appreciate the administration answering my questions. How are we going to be informed of any changes during this 20-day period of the budget so that come December 18th, when it is adopted, we will know if there's any more significant tax increases, specifically the ones related to building the general fund reserve that was presented at the budget hearing, which was not part of what's downloaded off the website. It's not part of that 84-page document. It was additional slides, I believe, prepared by PFM that showed additional tax increases than what were mentioned. So I'm just wondering how that's going to be communicated to us prior to the final adoption.
That's a good question.
It is. I'm not sure.
What have we done in the past, Jill? I mean, remind us of the process of what we did in the past. Was there something that went out in the e-newsletter?
Well, that is what we would do. Normally in the past, it's been pretty final during that time, and then there are no changes before the adoption. But if there were significant changes during this time until the 18th, we would advertise that again and put it in the e-news to let everyone know, and probably to make it easier, point out what the changes are from the draft.
And I would say, because you were at the hearing, so you did see we put forward
four scenarios built.
Right, but we did advertise one of them,
the
first one, and then there were a couple different scenarios that were considered. So it would either be done that way, or I think it would probably also be prudent that we, if we have a further discussion about those other scenarios, that would occur at the budget, at when we go to
correct,
before we approve it, and we would do that publicly.
So we won't know until the night of the approval.
Well, I would say that we publish one, and that's most likely, but I would anticipate there'll be a discussion at the night that we approve
it. Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address the board? Very well. This time, I'll move to adopt the November 13th, 2018 Board of Supervisors minutes from the public hearing. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. On the new business, I'd like to turn our attention to a discussion on the PP&L power line rebuild. I understand that there are several people here this evening on that issue, and I'm going to turn the discussion, at least for preliminary comments, over to our manager, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As everyone is pretty much aware, we've received several comments from a lot of the residents on Forest Avenue regarding the PP&L upgrade. And as you are aware, we have very limited jurisdiction in this discussion because it is in a public right-of-way that we don't have any control over. So at my request, I asked to have this put on the agenda this evening to allow concerned citizens to come forward and at least air their concerns to the board publicly. And we invited representatives from PP&L to come here this evening to help address some of their concerns and really offer a short forum for people to get their feelings out on the record. It's my opinion that the Board of Supervisors really has very limited opportunity to influence any decision-making or impact on the project as it stands today, but I think it provides you a good opportunity to hear the concerns that the residents have regarding this issue and maybe the concerns that we have going back to PP&L that as these transmission lines are upgraded in the future, we will have the opportunity to have some different types of discussions and make people more aware of this as it happens rather than to show up after work one night and see a pole in your front yard. So I will turn it over to representatives from PP&L. I think you can frame this discussion a little bit, talk about where you are, where you've been, what you'd like to do, and certainly we'll have an opportunity to try to answer some questions from our residents. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you for having me here, Mr. Chrisman and supervisors. So first, I'd just like to give a little bit of background on our electric delivery system.
Just could you please give your name and title?
Sure. I'm Jeff Baker. I am a regional affairs director for PPL Electric, and I also have Chris Sante here. He's one of the construction supervisors on the project, and Kurt Schumann, who oversees a lot of our transmission projects. So just some background on how the electric delivery system works so people can better understand what transmission is. So PPL 69 kV system, that's the lowest level of transmission voltage that we have. It was primarily built in the 60s, and therefore the wooden poles that you see that are still around on the 69 system holding up these wires are nearing the end of their useful life. So transmission is really the backbone of the electric system. If we're going to talk about it in terms of a highway or the traffic system, it's really a highway, an interstate highway. It's a lot of voltage going over typically very far distances to be very efficient. So transmission lines then run to a substation where transformers step it down to the distribution level. And that's 12 or 13 kV voltage, and that's what you see along the smaller wooden lines along most streets or in some residential neighborhoods, distributions underground, and you'll see the green pad mount transformers. So transmission is obviously crucial for our system because it serves so many customers and it serves the critical facilities like hospitals and water treatment plants that we all rely on. So over the last 5 years, about 158,000 customers have been interrupted. They've had their power interrupted due to problems or failures on our aging wood transmission lines. So that totals 313 million customer minutes interruptions to those wood lines. So that's equivalent to about 600 customers without power for an entire year. So you can see why our planning engineers really want to get these wooden 69 kV poles off our system. So that's why we're rebuilding these lines across our system. So this rebuild is called the South Hershey 69 rebuild, named after the two substations it goes to and from. It's part of our overall goal of making the transmission system more reliable for customers, which will cut down on outages, especially during really strong storms, which the PPL system, we've seen more severe weather events in the past 5 years than we have before, which residents may have been noticing, especially with the flooding that happened this past summer.
So the project running down Forest Avenue right now, those poles are 52 years old, so they existed before most of the homes were put into the area. As I understand it, the homes came in around 1970, so we acquired that easement from MedEd when we acquired some MedEd lines in this area. Construction started last month, and on Forest Avenue in particular, it should be done by Christmas. Last year, we rebuilt another 69 kV line in the township. It's now in service. That ran from the Hummelstown substation to the Hershey substation. We use those poles as an example of what will be out there. They're pretty standard. They go through residential areas, farm fields, all over. So we recently heard from a handful of residents who do not like the look of the new poles, and I definitely understand their concerns. I can be empathetic. It is a big change when they first change from wood to steel. There are several reasons we're using those steel structures. So, like I said, they hold up much better in the severe storm situations. Trees fall on transmission lines all the time. That's part of the outage statistics I gave before. As well, they require less maintenance over the course of the life of the pole. So as a public utility, all of our costs are paid by our customers. So it's our duty to the public to keep our costs as low as possible. So basically, wooden poles require a lot of maintenance. They degrade because of the environment, the weather. We have to inspect them frequently, come out, retreat them, fix the degradation areas. With these steel poles, we've seen once they're in, they're pretty much set. We still do inspections, but they're actually self-weathering. They start out the more reddish color you may have seen now, and they weather to a more brown color. So that takes away any painting that we used to do on other metal structures that you may have seen. So it's a way to rebuild our system for the future. And also this line, I should say, it has we're rebuilding it from a single circuit 69 to a double circuit. So that helps provide more reliable power to the Hershey Medical Center and also supports some of the development that we see happening in your township. You know, a lot of people want to be here. It's a great place to live. So in particular, I know there's been several concerns which have been raised to myself and others. And one is the foundation for the pole on the corner of Sandhill and Forest Avenue. So residents, two in particular, asked, would this be an issue with line of sight at the intersection? So we had our engineer on the project, the lead engineer, rerun her calculations. Our construction supervisor rechecked it. They do not feel it will cause a line of sight issue. As a precaution, we asked the township PD to check into it. Lieutenant Fury was kind enough to go out and check on it, and the pole's not in place now, it's just a foundation. So as he can imagine it right now, he does not believe it will cause a line of sight issue. So one recommendation that I thought was great was putting painting a stop bar on the street, because that particular intersection, like some intersections, you need to pull up a little bit further than the stop sign to be safe, even as it stands now. So that painting of a line, I talked to the public works director who was okay with it. We think that will help make things safer. So that's one. Another one is the question, we get this all the time with new lines, why can't you build this line underground? We really only build transmission lines underground when they're new, so we don't have existing rights for them. And typically when they're through cities or densely populated downtown areas where the only alternative above ground would be so far out of the way that it's impacting an unreasonable amount of residents, and then the cost is rising. So in 2013, we built one underground in Derry Township right through the downtown. It's because there was no other alternative except something that would have been three or four times longer, had a much bigger impact because it would have had to go around the township. The reason we stay above ground with transmission, it can be up to 10 times more expensive. So as I said, ratepayers would pay that extra cost, bills would get unreasonable. It also has more of an environmental impact. It has more of an impact on the residents during construction because you're trenching the length of the line. And when there's outages, it's harder to identify and fix them because you often have to dig. The last thing that's come up several times is residents have asked us, There's an easement behind the homes on Forest Avenue, and why could we not put the line in that easement? So that easement is actually for an underground distribution line. So the distribution line easement cannot physically fit an additional transmission line. So as I went over before, the distribution's for the smaller line. On the other side of Forest Ave, there's also a distribution line behind those residents' homes, and that also would not fit a transmission line. So we're really going with the only location available. Also, I'll say that I know from past projects, putting poles behind people's homes is not always favorable to everybody. If you live on that side of the street, a lot of people spend more time in their backyards than they do in their front yard. So I'm not sure, even if we had an easement, that that would have solved all the issues with the appearance of the poles. So I tried to clear up some of the questions I've heard before. We're happy to hear more concerns and answer any more questions. So thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I ask Chuck to put this up on the screen, the map up there, so we all have the same point of reference? The satellite, what would we do for that, please? Corner question.
Did you want aerial or street views? I think these are the lines we're talking about. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's the old line.
There's the old
line.
Old pole,
yeah.
I don't think it'd be that.
Except that 180, I think, to be able to capture that intersection.
Oh, you want the intersection.
Yeah. Right there.
There you go.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Are there any questions from members of the board at this point before we open the floor to public concerns, comments? Hearing none, if members of the public would like to ask any questions or voice their concerns, please do so by coming to the mic, identifying yourself by name and your address, and if you can try to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated.
Hello, Mayor. Hi, I'm Tom Fowleston. I live at 62 Forest Avenue. I've been a resident on Forest Avenue for over 30 years. Obviously not original, because as you said, the homes were built in the 70s, mostly early 70s. I want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to meet and discuss some of the issues that we've seen come up. One of the things that is most disturbing about what happened was the surprise on us. We really weren't aware of this issue until about 3 weeks ago, maybe going on 4 weeks this week. And the way we became aware of it, as you know, I think I provided you copies of the letters we received. And these letters said the poles were being replaced. In my mind, that was the poles that we have there, that's what you're replacing. And that would be an issue. No one's arguing that would not be an issue. But the poles we got are 70 feet high with 8 lines on them. How do you compare 8 lines? I'm sorry, if you did that to your homes, how would you like to have a pole in front of your front yard with 8 lines on it? I'm sure not one of them would say yes, but we were just told this is what's going to happen. And so the big change was these new poles going up, and we just had no time to react because it just started happening. And to be honest with you, the more we complained, it seemed the faster they went to get those lines, poles up. So nothing could get done. I think I gave you a little bit of information in the presentation I did send out. One of the things that we thought about was, the wind poles did need to be replaced. They were 50 years old, but the timing was poor. And one of the things, I spoke with Mike Leader over the weekend, and it's going to cut through his property. And when I told Mike, go up and see what the poles are, he had no idea that that was the kind of pole he's getting today. He still did not know that that was what was going to happen. So you look at that and say, well, that communications was so bad to let us know. I think mostly bad because they didn't want us to put up a fight. I really think that's the case. They knew that this was going to be a problem. Nobody in this room would want a 70-foot pole planted in front of their home. And they knew that and didn't want to have us object to it. I have to think that's the main thing. This has been going on since 2016. They knew this project was going ahead. I believe that would have been enough time to let us know there was something going to happen. But no, we got it letters twice, never telling a 70-foot line. In fact, they gave us a picture of a tower over in Cumberland County. That's where we're supposed to go to find out what the towers look like. You know, that's for residents living, in most cases, we have some people who lived in the street since it was built. You know, that's kind of a disturbing aspect, I believe. This lack of communications is really going to, you know, it's really been the factor that's affected us the most. And we're all concerned about the detrimental value, impact on value, that could happen to our homes. It will happen if the poles stay. There's anyone, and I think a lot of you have driven over there, so you kind of know what it looks like now. I think that would be, and you can't, you have to agree that that's going to be a problem for some. It's just going to be an issue. So I do want to have someone else speak. So I think that's probably my 3 minutes. But I did leave you with some information. And we have pictures of that corner with the concrete pillar they put in. And I'll pass that around. You got one here and one over here. And I have to say, if you want to see what a 6 foot wide pole is going to be like in that corner, I think we should get a piece of plywood 6 foot wide by as tall as you want it to be and tell me that's not going to impact your vision. I'm sorry, sir. That does not make sense to me. Go ahead.
Thank you, Tom.
Good evening. My name is Steve King. I live on 26 Forest Avenue. Actually, the second house in on the right as you turn into Forest. Just to reiterate what Tom said, maybe to clarify, you have those letters. We received 2 letters, one dated July 13th, pole replacement, line rebuild. That's all we were told. October 17th, we received a more detailed letter with that photo of those poles up against trees in a more rural area of Cumberland County. Also, that they would be similar to what was kind of built near Waltonville Road. Those poles happened to be in the field, probably 50, at least 50 yards or more away from the poles. Okay. It was approved by Department of Dauphin County Conservation and by the Pennsylvania Department of Environment. So it was a done deal. About 2.5 weeks ago, when I saw poles starting to go up a half mile from my house, you could see them at the end of the street near the substation. I went up and inquired. And this is when I found out what the poles would really look like coming down the street. This is when I found out that there would be, depending on who you talk to with EPNL, a pole that's what they're putting in now along the street, or 8 feet, or 6 feet. What they did, instead of replacing, getting near that metal pole there, they went right up against that curb, right where that crosswalk is, where you see the pedestrian crosswalk. That's an 8 foot diameter pad. Jessica informed me today that it would be about a 6.5 foot pole at the base, tapering up to, I guess, ending at 5.5 feet. Lieutenant, I am also surprised, as I go there in my car, if I envision, and I have taken photos that you might have, of cars going by that, what's now the foundation, there's going to be a site issue with traffic. There's going to be a safety issue. There's a safety issue. We have to pull so far up, the nose of our car is going to be sticking in the sand hill road. So it is a safety issue. In the detail letter, we were never told that that was going to be a 76-foot high pole, 6 feet around, or 6.5 feet around. So they haven't told the whole story. Along with this, that the insistence by PP&L that it does not have an easement except for distribution in the medical center field that abuts the south side of the street, it demonstrates inconsistencies in what Forest Avenue residents are being told, as we very much believe there can be easement in that field, probably with underground lines, preferably with underground lines, as it was done in the 20, 12 downtown project. I emailed Jessica, asked if it was taken to a higher level with PPL management, requested a meeting with PPL management. I will read you the email response I got back to that issue from Jessica. I personally spoke to company leadership and transmission on the issues you and your neighbors have raised. We take landowners' complaints very seriously, I assure you. I could try to facilitate a meeting for you or a phone call. However, their answers will be the same as mine. That is, the line will not be moved behind the house or put underground. If you continue to feel that you would like to hear answers from a manager above my level, let me know and I can see what I can do. Also asked about visits to neighbors or meetings with neighbors. We'll canvass the street. Door-to-door outreach is what we do on these projects. I promise you, you're not getting less information than any other neighborhoods. That's because we're talking to them. We typically only have public meeting, input meeting on new lines. Our outreach specialist spoke to a little less than half of the neighbors on the side of the street with the line in their yard last Friday. So they don't even want to engage people on the south side of the street. Response to the poll, as Jessica stated earlier, engineer came, was doing recalculating, construction supervisor was on site, and she told me it was going to be a 6.5 foot pole, so you can have that story. So here's how we're feeling about this. Lack of information in two letters dated in July and October, misinformation on specs for the poles, omission of information on the larger poles, lack of consultation with township officials, lack of engagement of Forest Avenue and neighboring residents that are directly impacted, refusal to have a discussion on easements with us and other parties, and a divide and conquer strategy of approaching only half the neighborhood on a spur of the moment basis. This demonstrates PPNL's unprofessionalism, deception, and what I can only say is arrogance beyond belief. You're taking the cheapest route and the least path of resistance to complete this project. If PPL was hoping to whistle past the graveyard, they will not do so. To date, we have not been told when the lines will be strung, why 8 lines are needed, total voltage that will be carried, or where the Comcast cable, precariously hanging on the poles now, will be located. PPL, we're asking you to engage in discussion to locate these lines in a manner that will have little, if any, impact on Forest Avenue, other neighborhoods, and Derry Township at large. We're asking PPL to engage Derry Township officials to discuss impact on this and future projects that affect the community. We will continue to engage elected officials to make them aware of PPNL's tactics and to have them advocate for us. We are organized, and we will be canvassing other neighborhoods that are impacted. There's press coverage, which will be elevated. There will be more protests. PPL, we're your customers, and probably in many cases, your shareholders. You had the chance to do the right thing when this project originated, and you did not. You have the opportunity to correct this and make it a good story. PPL, take down these poles. Thank you.
I can answer a few of the questions.
We did not interrupt you.
Hi, my name is Marianne Curtin. I reside at 103 Forest Avenue. I am a professional engineer. I am licensed in the state of Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, and two Western states. My husband is a long-term resident of Hershey, and Paul and I have raised our daughter there, who's third-generation Hershey Curtin. She loves this town. She calls it the chocolate bubble. I'm worried about what her reaction is going to be when she comes home this weekend and no longer sees it as the pristine neighborhood that she grew up in. And what I want to say is that this is not a Fourth Avenue problem. This is going to be a township issue. If I may approach you guys, I have the actual route if you want to take a look.
Yeah, I believe.
So it crosses Sand Hill, it goes in the backyard of the Yerden Cambridge Commons, which is very densely populated. It crosses about the Giant, it's on Coco Avenue. I think a lot of the problems we've been having with is perception. One of the perceptions is going to be, what are tourists going to think when they turn onto Coco Avenue and say, when did this become an industrialized moving town? From Coco, it does go to Homestead. Now, it goes on Founders Park, which is where the high school cross country teams and middle school teams run. What perception are we going to give having these enormous poles with eight lines, still the voltage unknown, and having these kids running cross country? From Founders Park, it crosses back to the other side of the street, and they will be right in front of the elementary school. So if you have people with young children who want to come into Derry Township and they see these poles, what is the perception going to be? Do I want to move into this neighborhood with high taxes and there may be a concern about these poles? There's a perception issue. I think the only way to avoid this perception is for the lines to be placed underground. As far as the size of the poles, when I heard about this project, I specifically asked, what are the dimensions and may I have a drawing? The answer given to me were they would be slightly wider and slightly larger. The existing pole on my property was 14 inches in diameter. The one I have now is 22 inches in diameter. That's 1.5 times. Now, to me, slightly, maybe, give or take, 10%. The height, I'm guessing the existing was 30-ish, and now it is 70-ish. I don't think over two times is slightly taller. So I think the perception that was given with this, with just replacing poles and that it wasn't such a big deal, but it is totally a new scope of work, and that should have been considered in determining how to address this transmission line. And therefore, if you look at that map and going through all these dense populated areas which you had addressed, then they should be underground as in other densely populated areas. As far as line of sight, I have an issue on my own property. We have a garage in the back, and unfortunately that's where we keep our trailer, so the shift of the pole and the larger pole, I am now going to have a line of sight issue pulling out of Hilltop onto Forest, and so will my neighbor. I think that, again, every community that's going to be impacted in the township, every meeting from here on in, you may get another cluster of people. It may be Forest Avenue today, but it's going to be Cambridge Commons, and then it's going to be Homestead. There's houses on Homestead that are pushing $1 million. I'm not sure what that's going to do to property values, and then I'm not sure what the reaction of that is to your tax base. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you?
Got it? Okay, good. Suzanne Owens, 50 Forest Avenue. I think there are a couple things. One, you mentioned the fact that PPL mentions that the 50-some-year-old poles were needing to be replaced. Well, they've been there for 50 years, and I'm not aware in all the years that I've been on Forest Avenue that there was ever a problem with any of the poles. I've also heard them say that underground transmission is constantly causing people to have to work on the lines. We've had underground electric coming into our house since it was built in the 70s, and we've never had a problem. I'm not aware of ever having anyone on Forest Avenue ever having their yard dug up because of that. So it's obviously safe and effective and works fine underground. In Derry Township, I've had to come here several times when I wanted to do work on my house.
to ask permission. Dare Township is a very good township in terms of maintaining property values. I mean, our taxes are high because people invest in our town. And we all on Forest Avenue have invested a great amount of money maintaining our property and improving it. And there should be a standard that if somebody working on something in a right-of-way does not mean they have a right to put non-residential items in that right-of-way. I mean, isn't it fair that if you place an item in a right-of-way, we all know we've been living with the power there for years. Nobody minds the power being there. But do it in a respectful way that is residential. Don't put industrial poles on a residential street that ruins our street. And we're all good citizens that we cooperate. We, you know, we work with the Med Center right behind us. We've never had any challenges. And for people to do this to us without being willing, it doesn't matter if they pay 10 times more. You can't just go in and destroy somebody else's property because it's cheaper for you. And then, you know, in areas that they don't mind, that are nice, that they view as being nice, they'll put it underground. Well, apparently they think Forest Avenue is a trailer park, and it's not.
I'm Jim Owens. I'm also from 50 Forest Avenue. And my wife took a lot of my smoke, but anyway, I wanted to start off by saying thank you for listening to us tonight. We came here hoping that you all took your positions for the right reasons, and that is to advocate for the community and the taxpayers of this community. We need your help on this. I want you all to imagine waking up tomorrow morning in your beautiful homes, on your beautiful streets, in your beautiful communities, looking out the window and seeing these brown, rusty, 70-foot poles that are prehistoric and they're dinosaurs, they're scarecrows on our street. The yard arms are, there's three of them, they're like 12 feet tall, and they hang out over the street. So imagine walking down your street, driving your car down your street, with these yard arms hanging over you. It's not a pleasant sight. Now I know Tom sent you a letter that TPML put out. And I want to give you this letter.
Can we get him another mic?
Where'd you hit the button?
What'd you make?
They
got the power.
Power. Doctor in the house. Now, I've been in the customer service industry all my life, and I work with some of the best leaders in customer service in the country. And the thing I can tell you about the first letter, let's call it PPO, Christmas present, and the letter I just gave you, which we'll call PPO, Christmas past, is the tone. And that tone, to me, sticks out like a sore thumb. In PPO, Christmas past, the tone is, number one, they already knew their customer. They already knew the customer's needs and wants, and they were decided to put it underground. And they put it underground, and you'll see it's some of the same substations that we're talking about today. In the letter, they talk about, we'll have an open house at your library so that we can hear your wants and needs, and we can discuss this, and we can tell you what to anticipate. Christmas present is quite a bit different tone. They're telling us what they're going to do and what they're going to drive down our street and down our throats. where are we at with this? I don't know. You know, we need your help. We need lobbyists. We need people to rally together. And I think about it, and I think about the old Westerns. When the town people were attacked, they'd all come together, and they'd rally around one another. And soon you'd hear the bugle blow, and help would come running. Well, tonight, Forest Avenue is blowing that bugle. And the question is, will you rally around us?
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board?
Good evening. Charles Smith, 78 Forest Avenue. Recent resident to Forest Avenue, however, I did attend Hershey. I went through Hershey High School, graduated in 93. Particularly, I moved my family back to the district for the school system. My wife and I chose not to move back to places that had power lines. It was just a big major turnoff. The thing that attracted Forest Avenue to us was just the friendly neighborhood, the openness of it, and now it just feels as though we're living down the street from a nuclear power plant with these huge industrial rusty poles, 8-foot lines, voltage unknown, potential safety concerns, property values, all the same attributes that my fellow neighbors have already spoken about. So I'm just here also in opposition of this, and hopefully that the supervisors can help us out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for taking the time with us this evening. My name is Bridget Heinle. I live at 12 Forest Avenue on the corner of Sand Hill Road and Forest Avenue. I have a family daycare home, which I've come to the township and I followed all the rules. In order for me to have my home, I have to have a permeable surface near my playground. Down the street, Hershey Medical Center has acres of blacktop that's not permeable surface. I was meeting all the rules. I think it's a big safety concern. As a resident living there 20 years, I have heard many car accidents on that corner as it is. I've heard the bang of cars. By the grace of God, there have been no fatalities so far. That's just the way it is. That structure going in is enormous. And you have also put in a walking path there. There are many times I see children with bicycles going across there, families with young children in strollers, and it's not safe to begin with now. There would be very poor visibility with that corner there. There are accidents now, people coming down the hill very fastly. It's an accident, very large accident waiting to happen. This really needs to be revisited. As a resident, I've seen this so many times in the past. It's going to get a lot worse. And I have seen the police at my corner many times. They're just a recorded accident. There have been many near misses that are not recorded. I think you need to sit there like you have the speeding tickets of people coming down the hill and sit there and observe the poor visibility to begin with now. And you look at that big pole you're putting in there and that concrete barrier, God forbid that there be many more accidents to occur. And I have a family daycare home with 6 children in it and 4 very poor visibility. I think this needs to be revisited because I don't think we want to wake up in the morning and think we're part of that accident. It was waiting to happen. And I look forward to your encouragement of helping us as citizens. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I was Ryan Link, 230 West Arriva. I don't live on Forest Ave, and Arriva actually has the underground transmission line in Hershey. But, you know, I was looking at that intersection and the site, I think it's 25 miles an hour on the hill, and 25 on the hill. So your site triangles are going to be very small. So I am confident that the engineer checked it. There is one thing that the township could consider, which is a four-way stop.
People come down that hill 45.
I mean, if the concern is with site distance, that is a legitimate engineering solution. Crash clusters is also a warrant for a four-way stop. The rusty poles, you know, I know a lot of people are against it, but Core 10 weathering steel is much preferred, in my experience, to painted poles that don't get maintained. So just as a devil's advocate on the rusty pole, but just thought I'd add that part there.
Good evening, thank you. I'm Terry Abney. I live at 15 Forest Avenue. I'm actually the second one in from the corner. I live across the street from Ridget. I too have a lot of concern about that corner. We have small kids, along with Bridget having that daycare right there. We have two cars, one is taller, one is lower. If you sit at that corner in our lower car and you look this way, there is a little hill that goes like that. I can look that way, and that way. And by that time, there is a car right there. It is, people fly down that road, and having that position where it is, we are not going to be able to see. My second concern with that location is there is that crossroad right there. And like Bridget brought up, that path is used a lot. My kids cross on their bikes to go visit their friends. People fly down that hill. When somebody's standing there to cross and someone's coming down the hill, they're not going to see them behind that large pole. So that is a huge concern of mine. My other concern is when we receive those letters to replace the poles, thought, great, new poles. It was not explained to us that they were going to be, and if I can show you this picture.
This is a picture of the small pole with the new pole next to it.
Is there any way we can get that picture on the screen just for discussion sake?
I don't think so. Technologically.
Can we?
Email the
Chuck.
I don't have email on this computer.
No.
So that's the old versus the new pole.
And just to be clear, I have been out there. I think several supervisors have, and we've also seen a lot of pictures. So it is dramatic.
At this moment, the lines are not up. I mean, it is an eyesore just to see just the pole. But to imagine these lines going up our street, it is just so sad. We've lived in this community. My husband is military, active duty military. We've lived all over the place. And Hershey is my favorite place we've ever lived because of the type of community that we are, the beautifulness of our community, and the uniqueness of it. And to see these poles go in, it just breaks my heart because I feel like that beauty of our street is gone. I don't know if anything can be done, but I really hope that in the future at least, this can be looked at prior to something like this happening, because, like I said, Derry Township is a unique place, and you really don't want to lose the beauty of Derry Township.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Bob Heinle. I live at 12 Forest Avenue. That's right on the corner. Okay, and from what we were told, that it was a pole replacement issue, and it's not. It's an infrastructure improvement, and they're increasing that electrical power line on our street. And why should we shoulder everything for the PPL on our street? I don't know why. The other thing is that corner is very complicated. It's more complicated than you might think. Okay, we have the crosswalk, we have a four-way intersection, but you also have a serious safety problem as the sun is setting. It comes right down Forest Avenue. And I was always terrified that any of my children or any other children on the street, if someone pulls in, they're going to get blinded by the sun. I always tell my kids, don't ever think that they can see you because that sun could be right in their eyes. And it's why have another pole there complicating an already complicated intersection? I don't see any reason why they should be able to do that. Somebody gets killed there, that's going to be a robot. We ought to take a second look at it. it needs to be taken a second look at it. We're looking for you, like James said, we need to have somebody take our issue seriously and look at the situation. There's plenty of real estate very close by. That substation is non-isolated. It is open across the field. So there's got to be options where you can change things for the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there any, ma'am?
I would like to just address you as all of those persons who couldn't be here because they were not formally notified correctly. Again, as an engineer, I've worked in easements. Every time I had to talk with property owners, we were given communication via certified letter, return, receipt, requested. That wasn't done in this case. Supposedly there's two letters. I have one. I don't have the one from the summertime. May have thrown it out thinking it was electric choice. Who knows? But that needs to be addressed, that not everyone on the street and new owners and changing owners were not notified. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else wishing to address the board on this particular issue?
You know, just one last issue, and it's an important issue. And that is, you know, with everything that goes on in Hershey, the new buildings downtown, the new businesses downtown, there was code enforcement, there was aesthetic enforcement. The buildings had to meet the culture of the town. And if that happens in downtown Hershey, why doesn't it happen in the taxpayer communities? This is not aesthetic at all. This doesn't fit our culture. And the same should be for us that it is for downtown or anywhere else in Hershey. Hershey is a beautiful place to live. But if we let these corporate bullies do what they're doing, it's not going to be a pretty town.
Hello, my name is Dave Bowser. I'm just a bystander here for another item. But I'm very experienced in construction and building. And one thing I just wanted everybody to know, that core boring horizontally is not real expensive, and that would put everything underground. They can core bore right through rock. They can go through anything. So I just, as a bystander, wanted you to know that putting that underground, I believe, is less expensive than putting these big poles up.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address the board at this time? Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Matthew Owens. I live at 54 East Avenue. I think all the broader points about the poles have been more eloquently addressed by some of the other people here tonight, but I just want to come up to further testify with how dangerous the pole at the end of the street is going to be. I've lived on Forest Avenue my entire life, and I've driven on Forest Avenue since I've been able to drive. I make a left turn out of that corner every single day. You have to make a left turn out of there to get to anywhere, and Sand Hill Road is one of the most dangerous streets that's around us. There's been many accidents on Sand Hill. And I'm sure that the Derry Township Police Department knows that Sandhill is a major problem area for speeding. So the pole, as it stands now, is situated in one of the worst placements it could possibly be. It's at the far corner, and it's going to cause major safety issues. It's going to make a turn, which is already difficult to make, which is already dangerous. Even more dangerous, and I think that has to be taken into account. Many people have already come up to say it, and I'm just coming up to further sort of galvanize that point that the 6 foot across wide pole at the end of the street is going to get somebody killed, it's going to get somebody hurt, and I think we're not doing the right thing if we don't stand up and say something about it now, because somebody's going to get hurt over this, and I don't think it's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tom?
One more point. Thank you. You know, I worked in banking 42 years, highly regulated industry. And a lot of times you're faced with, you have a legal right to do things, right? Banks always have these legal rights. But sometimes you have to do the right thing. We're asking them to do the right thing. Yes, they have all these legal rights. They can do whatever they want, right? And they do, it seems like. But when we asked them about putting underground lines in, they said never happens. We had to dig up information in 2012, right? And we asked them, did you go to the medical center and ask them if they could have the right of way? And what was the response? What did the medical center say?
We did have conversations.
And what did they say?
It was our right-of-way agent's impression that they did not want to sell right.
And we can check the people over there and we'll find out that's not true.
They're here.
Mm-hmm. Is that correct? It wasn't true, it's not true, is it?
When you're done, maybe more good questions.
Yeah, I think that'll be fair.
That way you can hear everybody.
Right. We hear these things. What are we to believe? Who do we believe? And so, I mean, that's kind of where I am. I think, you know, if you have to do the right thing. And if this was their neighborhood, they would be arguing to do the right thing, too. Deep in their hearts, they know this is wrong. They do. You know they do. But they have to kind of go with their rights. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Mark, address that.
Hi, good evening. Marvin Smith, the Vice President of Facilities at Hershey Medical Center. We did discuss with PPL the potential for a right-of-way on our property. We did, and we do have several easements and rights of way on our campus, so we're familiar with that aspect. We never officially said yes or no, but we did explore some options and discuss some of our concerns about a right-of-way on the north side. One is there's a significant landscape berm that would have to be considered in the construction. There's a very large stormwater drainage swale in the same area that if you ever go there in heavy rains, there's a lot of water comes through there. So that would be a challenge from a construction standpoint. That's also the location of an existing Derry Township Municipal Authority sewer easement. So that would have to be considered as well. And then we had some concerns with, you know, what's the impact on future development. But we did support the PPL's plan to improve the reliability that benefits that improves the electrical grid and benefits our entire community. But we've also want to address some questions we have from some residents that this work isn't related to construction that's currently going on campus. It's a broader reliability project. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ben Abney. I'm 15 Forest Avenue. I'm also a PPL shareholder as well. This is something as a shareholder I can look at and say I'm comfortable with an organization stepping back and saying maybe it's not the bottom dollar in this instance, maybe we need to look at a bigger picture, a long-term solution. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Adrian Best, 15 Forest Lane. So just as another resident of the street, obviously I agree with the comments from my neighbors. I just wanted to just kind of add on. So I heard some reference, you know, I hear reference to right away. I heard reference to up to 10 times the cost. And I just wonder, you know, was it seriously considered? I mean, up to 10 times, did they put serious consideration into alternatives? You know, maybe it's 3 times, maybe it's 4 times, maybe it's 2 times. I think without, some serious consideration, it's hard to say. I came to, I'm looking at the sign here, you know, it's Derry, Hershey, Pennsylvania, you know, where it's just sweeter. I came to this area and Forest Avenue on purpose, close proximity to the town, positive things I heard about the schools, close proximity to you know, to great employment. I mean, obviously, you don't have to tell the people in this room, the township has a lot going for it. The, you know, it just seems like, you know, there was reference to taxes. You know, part of the draw here is that we don't just do things the cheapest way. You know, I like to think that we do things the best way. And I think pretty clearly the choice that was taken here was the cheapest way. And also mentioned previously, I mean, it's, you know, it's a smaller percentage of the population that's unfortunately going to bear the burden of that cheaper, you know, of that choice the way they made it. And, you know, like some of the others, I would ask, you know, I'd like to see the poles come down. I'd like to see these lines put underground where it's where they can do it and where it's appropriate to do so. And yeah, like I said, it's not the cheapest way, but I think it's the best way, and it's consistent with Derry Township. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, could we have someone who hasn't spoken yet offer their insight?
My name is Mike Morvitz. I'm 111 Forest Avenue. And I just had a question for you. I'll have a welcome to you. Are you going to let them do a consideration of putting it underground, the easement behind the, on the north end of the street? Are you going to have them look into that? Or?
We are open. We will let them do that.
Okay. You guys would keep on top of that. That's what we would really like. I mean, that's what I would like to see. Easement, like I said, underground north end. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I think that kind of tops what our concerns are with what we're being told. There's deception, fraud, in my opinion. They had a dialogue with the medical center. It was not strictly opposed. And there was never follow-up, apparently.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who wants to address the board? If not, ma'am, an opportunity to answer some of the questions.
I just wanted to answer the voltage question. So it is a 69 kV line right now. A lot of people didn't realize that because it was on a smaller wooden pole because of the age of it. So the line that we are building is a 69 kV. There's no increase in voltage. The only difference is there is a double circuit now. So instead of just one circuit, there's two circuits. So that helps the Christian Medical Center, as explained, as well as any extra development that happens. The other reason a second circuit is really important is because, you know, there's maintenance that has to happen on transmission lines, as well as problems that occur on equipment during clear sky days or during storms. And when those things happen, tens of thousands of customers lose their power source, and we need to be able to switch that to another line. So a lot of times a whole transmission line will go out of power, and we switch every customer we can to another line that's available. That double circuit allows us to do that. So during a severe storm, having an extra circuit could be the difference of you not having a power for hours and hours, thousands of customers, whether instead of somebody just switching the switch and having power back. And, you know, I do apologize that people felt they didn't understand the difference in the poles. That is the reason we included a picture. I assure you we use that picture from Cumberland County because all of these poles are slightly different heights and diameters because of the engineering. So just on that street, we have ones that are about 2 feet wide to the one on the corner that's 6 feet wide. So that is why we don't include the exact dimensions in the letter that goes to the length of the line. We have everything from the height of like high 60, 68 feet up to the high 90s. So we can't put an exact dimension in the letter that goes to all landowners, but we're happy to answer those questions if landowners call. I believe there was, our right-of-way agent misspoke, unfortunately. There was a miscommunication. She was talking about the base of the pole when she said it was 8 feet wide, but She did call back Mr. King to explain that there was a miscommunication. So nobody's been trying to deceive anybody. I'm sorry that people feel that way, but it was good to hear everybody's concerns, and we'll definitely take this back to our management. So thank you.
Jeff, why are you still open late?
Sure.
So first of all, thanks for being here.
Sure.
Regardless of who's right or wrong, it took courage to come here because obviously this is a really contentious issue. And so thanks for being here. Why was this handled like this and this was not handled like this?
Sure. So that line was a new line. It was a 69 kV line that is built to operate at 138 kV. Anything over 100 kV needs to go before the Public Utility Commission to be approved. It is required that you have public input meetings. In addition, for a new line, we have landowners we need to talk to if we're not using all public right-of-way in the street for underground to purchase an easement from him. Therefore, there's a lot of input and consideration that can go into that process. With this, unfortunately, with rebuilds, a lot of times there's not a different alternative. A lot of people have talked about moving the line to other places, other fields. Everywhere you would move a line impacts somebody different. So moving the line somewhere else impacts somewhere else. I do understand underground seems like an attractive alternative, but we only use it, so that was, we needed a line from, I believe, the Reese factory substation. This was before my time at PPL, to one of the Hershey substations, and it needed to go through downtown. Downtown, like downtown Carlisle, we did an underground transmission line. They're in cities all over.
Yeah, I'm not questioning why it was underground. I think that becomes a little bit more clear. It's just that this was an open public process, and it sounds like it's because you're required to by the PUC. Is that it?
Well, there's a lot of input that needs to be taken for a new line, whereas this line, if we had a public hearing, it would be more informational. We'd want to hear residents' concerns and answer their questions, but as I said, the right-of-way is where the right-of-way is. We're not purchasing a right-of-way from someone, so they can't say, I use this side of my land for X, Y, Z. I'd like the right-of-way to be over here. So it wouldn't be really an input. It would be a conversational setting. And, you know, we did talk to the township very early on. We talked to them in early 2017. We had another rebuild that went through the township without any issues. So, you know, it was our understanding that this would be appropriate, the letter, and I'm sorry that people felt like they didn't have all the details. We'll definitely work on that in the future.
Yeah, we've been involved with this for several months. Obviously, this isn't our issue, although, Jim, I think it's a good point that we need to be advocates for our residents. We can't use tax dollars to do that because that wouldn't be right, but we need to be advocates. And I've watched a process that I don't know all the details, and it's not all black and white, so it's great, but I know there are some black and white issues. And I know that it was committed to us that residents would be canvassed before construction began. And I don't know why that was promised and not delivered. And I think that caused a lot of this situation. And so I think PP&L, there's definitely been things along the way where PP&L has dropped the ball. And there's really no
chance
for it.
Yes, and the canvassing was supposed to start earlier than it did. That was a problem with our outreach staff, and I apologize to you for that. We apologize to the owners on the street when they talked to them that they weren't out there earlier.
Yeah. The other thing is that, I mean, it sounds like there is a safety concern as well, and I think that having that brought up, and Lieutenant Burry, thanks for looking at that, although, from our perspective, now that it's been brought up by residents, I think it makes a lot of sense that we have our traffic engineer look at that.
I think it's very important that we do that. I mean, if we have a public safety issue, it's our responsibility to make sure we don't.
Yeah. So Eric's left, but it's something that we would probably need HRG to look at.
I mean, and other than facilitating this conversation tonight, that may be the best that we can do to help in this situation. But I want to echo Justin's comments and really one that Tom made earlier, that the lack of communication to the residents is really concerning to me. And as you move forward with other improvements, I think no one would disagree with the need to make improvements. We all want our electricity to be consistent, and we appreciate your efforts to do that. However, no one wants to be surprised about this. And to find out 3 weeks in advance or 2 days in advance that this is happening and not really fully understand the magnitude of what's happening is disturbing. So you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about the ability to have a public hearing to build conversation, that you didn't have to do that, but you could have done that. And I think that would have gone a long way in making all of the residents, we wouldn't be here tonight talking about this, I would offer, if that had been done. So go beyond what's required and do what's right and make sure that moving forward, I mean, if there are no options but to go above ground and put poles that are 70 feet tall in someone's front yard, at least show them the courtesy of having a conversation and explaining why, so that we don't have to go through this again and residents across our township don't have to go through it again.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that input. We'll definitely, if there's another rebuild in Derry Township, we'll certainly have a public meeting to explain
things.
Go ahead.
It's also disconcerting that, you know, there was obviously a miscommunication or lack of communication between PP&L and the medical center, that maybe there might have been some alternative that was left undone.
I understand. I will say, though, that I don't know that every homeowner on that side of the street would have been really excited with that in their backyard. So, I will say, though, with the underground option, it seems very attractive if it's just this one street. But there are dozens of these rebuilds we're doing just in the counties that I cover, so South Central PA. So if you think about every residential home that's affected and going underground, your bills would skyrocket.
That's not what we're talking about. I mean, this is different.
If underground is what people want, we can't do that in every instance. We have these in residential areas in Mechanicsburg, Hummelstown, out right outside the city of Harrisburg, Emmaus. I mean, all over the place, our 69 kV is being upgraded to these poles. So if you make an exception and go underground on one residential street, then you end up with astronomical costs of underground and less reliable service, because when that outage happens, it takes a lot longer to fix. Distribution is very different from transmission.
So in the whole project that started a couple of years ago, that went over to Hummelstown and everywhere, is there any other street that's been affected like this? Where the easement is in their front yard, and it's...
I would say there is. The line that goes...
Sorry, could you just come to the mic and say your name for the record, please?
My name is Chris Sante, and I represent Burns McDonald, the firm assigned with construction management and oversight. There's a line that leads Hummelstown substation, and it works its way up behind Shank Park. Okay, so that there's a new neighborhood. Please forgive me, I'm not familiar with the area to the level you folks are. But if you go up to the top of the hill, Waltonville Road, back downhill to the left, there's a relatively new, I would say maybe within 20-year-old development there. In that area, the poles go right through those people's properties, go over their homes, up through Shank Park, and then it ties in up on top of the hill where we're picking up. It would be south of South Hershey Substation.
So there are
other residents that have the same issue.
So it goes through Stony Run.
If that's the name of that development.
Yeah.
So there's not a home in Stony Run that has a pole like that in its front yard.
There's not.
Yard either.
I would beg to differ. I put a couple.
I would beg to differ because we've driven up around there. Those are in woods, more forested areas, yards, many yards away from the home. I'm very sorry. Those residents wouldn't stand for this. I can tell you that.
And put those poles on your homes. Those homes are slower selling and getting less money. That's what we've been congratulating. You did a great job, sir. Thank you. We'll do that to your neighbors sometime.
I think we're not going to reach, obviously, we've been here an hour and a half talking about this, and we've probably gone for days and never come to any conclusions, other than I think we all agree that there needs to be better communication, not just with the residents of Forest Avenue, but everybody in the township where this is going
to
be.
Can you now talk to the Med Center and try to come up with a resolution?
I think it does go a little further than that, in that we've identified a potential site issue. So if the question comes up, can the project be slowed down so we can figure that out? I mean, we wouldn't want that huge pole to go in when we have a site issue that came up.
Right, now they're rushing through it.
Going
in the night.
All right, okay. Just one person at a time.
I would like to address that. I heard that a few times tonight about how fast we're going. So some of the speed at which we're going is to appease the residents, okay? It's to get out of their neighborhood.
Let me be clear. I'm not commenting on how fast you're going.
I've heard that from some of your concerned residents.
And that's not what I'm saying. Again, it's really important. We're the township, so we're interested in public safety. And so, I mean, your construction, an issue has come up with site distance.
I understood that that's that one specific pole here on the corner. I'm talking about there are 15 poles between there and the substation at this origination point.
Right.
Okay, so through the first 15, the ones that are directly buried in the ground, we are trying to do this as quickly as possible to ease the inconvenience to the residents. Okay, we've got the street blocked. All right, there's mud from the excavation, and we are trying to get done and get out of that area prior to Christmas with these people having guests for the holidays. We're just trying to get out of the neighborhood. Okay, it's not an effort to conceal anything.
That's not the issue, sir. Well, the issue is the
yes, sir. No, I understand that. We did hear a few of the residents insinuate that. Okay, so and that is not the case. We're trying to get out of their neighborhood. Okay, if there's an issue and the township determines there's an issue here, whatever course of action that needs to be taken on that will take.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So we agree we can hold off on that pole until your traffic engineer checks into it.
Yeah. And again, at some point, I mean, I don't mean to cut off the debate, but we have quite a bit of business on the agenda, so.
Sure. Sure, one more thing. I think that it's totally disingenuous to compare the poles on our street to the poles up by Waltonville and Stony Run. I've been by there. I go by there all the time. I live in this town. The way those poles are handled is that they don't go right up and down the street of the neighborhood. They many times kind of snake in between and go through, like, sort of behind houses. And you can see with those poles, they're built to try to be out of people's way. I think our situation is completely unique. We have poles of this size right up and down our street. I've never seen another residential street that has poles of this size going just right up and down. I think that has to be said, that those poles are very different, and that the way that those are laid out is very different.
Thank you.
I'll just make one more comment. I would personally, maybe you and I would never do this, but I'd personally like to at least understand what it would cost to put them underground.
Right.
I think also to maybe further the conversation with the medical center, just to explore possibilities. I mean, I know you're very far along in this, but everyone is playing catch up.
That's my just quick question. Can we agree to have at least a three-way conversation or some kind of dialogue between the residents, PP&L, and the medical center, just to see, can we get a resolution on this? You know, again, if the traffic engineer from the township comes out, can he help explain some of this to the residents too? Can we be involved with this before?
Well, we can certainly provide the room and the facilities for that. That whether or not the three parties are willing to sit down and talk, I strongly encourage that, and we hope that would be the case.
We should try to figure out how we're going to share whatever the traffic engineer comes up with the residents. We don't. I'm sure. I think this is most of the block here tonight, but I'm sure there's a few people missing. Maybe we can discuss that and use Tom as a point person.
Okay. Scott, I know you're here for the fire department and the fire truck issue. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. But I was going to stay out of it because I don't live on 4th. I live on 148 West Granada Avenue. My name is Scott Stein, for the record. I just want to put a little perspective because I'm sitting here listening to this, and believe me, if we could put all the lines in town underground, I'd be very happy because I think the lines above and the poles running down the alleys and everywhere else is a big problem. If you need to get site distances outside of town and forest, we have site distances coming out of the alleys and some of the intersections here because that's where the electric runs downtown. But for perspective purposes, you can solve this problem to solve this problem for Forest Avenue. You're still going to run into a problem when you get to the end of Sand Hill Road and you got to cross Country Meadows and all the neighborhoods and all the way out till you get to Homestead. You know, that's underground, that's a lot of houses, a lot of neighborhoods, probably. You know, could be a little bit more challenging and difficult because you don't have the Med Center offering up right away. So just for perspective, we can solve that problem there, but we're still going to run into a problem when we get past there.
Understood. Thank you.
We are just the understand PP&L. We are advocating for those other neighborhoods, and we'll make sure they're aware of what's coming. blocking their way.
They should be all underground.
All right, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for coming out and voicing your concerns. I greatly appreciate that. And we will undertake efforts to examine that site response and be in contact with Parks.
You're all welcome to stick around for the rest of the meeting. No takers?
Next item on the agenda is adoption resolution 1566, authorizing a lease purchase of PNC equipment finance to purchase a Pierce Arrow XT100-foot mid-mount tower for the Hershey Volunteer Fire Department.
Folks, we have probably another hour's worth of a meeting. If you have to have a conversation, could you please go into the hall? Thank you.
Jill?
The Board of Supervisors approved the purchase of a Pierce Arrow XT100-foot mid-mount tower for the Hershey Volunteer Fire Department. November 13th, the Board of Supervisors already approved this purchase of an aerial fire truck for the Hershey Fire Department. This resolution just authorizes the lease-to-purchase agreement. This would be through PNC Equipment Finance for 10 years. Our first payment would begin in 2020, $165,777.81 a year.
Thank you. Scott, I know you're in the audience. There was an issue raised about the 2007 rebuilds on that and why we need a new fire truck as opposed to the anticipated life expectancy of those rebuilds. I was hoping maybe you could provide some insight on that quickly.
Sure. I mean, NFPA says trucks 15 to 20 years. We're 12 years. In fact, at the rebuild time, it's 12 years plus from that. When you look at going back to when the truck was originally designed and built, we're over 22. We'd love to have kept this apparatus going. However, the cost-benefit aspect of it, if something fails or breaks, because the rights to the aerial scope concept, which is the main operating piece of the truck, belongs to Seagrave, and because our truck is not mounted on a Seagrave chassis, Seagrave will not share any of the materials with it. They won't share parts, they won't share concept drawings. So if something fails, which has in the past, we have to go back and re-engineer. And that costs substantially more to fix and repair and costs the truck to be out of service for a lengthier period of time. We've had the truck out of service over the course of the last few years because of problems going wrong with that section of it that has exceeded times 3 months, 4 months at a time. Not having a truck in service affects our ability to respond. We have several high rises and several large buildings that we can utilize and need trucks for. When we have to rely on the mutual aid companies, they're not always available. So now our insurance aspects, our ISO rating, potentially becomes impacted because our truck cannot stay in service regularly and frequent enough. So it's come to the point in time where that cost benefit of do we replace now with today's dollars, with today's technology, or do we wait and try to milk this and continue to spend into it and the cost benefit of that. So, you know, the recommendation and our need is we need to stay in service and we need to be efficient and working. And that's why we've come to you at this point in time. Prices are going up, tariffs, cost of aluminum, cost of steel, it's all going up. And it's going to likely continue to go up. Now's the time to buy when we're talking about the piece of price. It's expensive. It's the most expensive piece we have to look at buying. Do it now. And then we got 15 to 20 years going forward as opposed to a higher dollar down the line.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions for Scott on this issue? Hearing done, I'll make a motion in Resolution 1566 authorizing the lease purchase with PNC Equipment Finance to purchase a Pierce Arrow XT100-foot mid-mount tower for the Hershey Fire Volunteer Fire Department be adopted. I'll entertain a second. Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that resolution is approved unanimously. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is preliminary final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School Central Operations Facility Expansion, plat number 1306. Chuck, is that going to be you?
It is going to be me, yes. Milton Hershey School campus is 2,785.86 acres of land. However, this plan affects only about 9.3 acres. The focus of the plan is the construction of a 2,734 square foot addition to the central operations facility, a 9,000 square foot storage garage, and a 364 square foot accessory equipment pavilion. This project will have nominal impact on traffic as it's mainly storage for an existing facility. Likewise, stormwater management will be handled on site by retrofitting two existing stormwater basins, and a series of inlets and subsurface conveyance pipes will be constructed to direct the runoff to the from the addition to the existing detention basins. As is typical with the school campus, there's a series of waivers that are requested. Many of them are rather repetitive to prior plans and common in nature. Items, waiver items A through M, O, T, and R are all recommended by planning commission and by staff. There's two deferments listed on the plans or with the submission. One is deferment of curbs, and one of them is deferment of sidewalks, and in each case, we're recommending that they be approved as such. We are recommending approval of plat 1386 and 1306 with the following conditions: that the applicant reimburse the township for costs by January 4th, that the following items happen by June 4th, 2018, that security is provided, that the comments of the November 19th HRG letter are addressed, that two original signed and notarized agreements for the deferment of the curb and sidewalk, bicycle paths, are provided, that a CD of the digital file for the project is provided, and that the final copy of the declaration referencing the stormwater best management practices operation maintenance agreement is provided. Also then, that the agreement for the deferment of curbing and sidewalk is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the stormwater best management practice operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the declaration referencing the stormwater BMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan. We're also recommending the waivers and deferments as outlined in this item.
And those are A through I on the agenda items there, Chuck, you just described.
That they are.
Very well. Any questions or comments for Chuck on this particular item? Hearing none, I'll move the preliminary final land development plan for the Milton Hershey School Central Operations Facility Expansion Plat 1306 be approved, subject to compliance with items A through I under the Assistance Department and Recommendation section of this agenda item, and also move that the requested waivers and deferments from the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance be granted as noted under the explanation section of this agenda item. I'll entertain a second. Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, and that carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is consideration of construction of a new principal building at 102 Reese Avenue within the downtown core overlay zoning district. Chuck?
Thank you. This item will feel familiar. The board has seen 102 Reese Avenue in a couple of occasions. The board has already, under one of the previous applications, approved the demolition of the existing building at 102 and the construction of what was going to be a spa with residential mixed-use building there. Due to the cost of the improvements required by PennDOT, mostly the applicant has abandoned that plan, not entirely, because the next agenda item is actually extending that plan. But they put that plan on the shelf and decided to reconstruct the home. Today what sits there is a two-family dwelling. They're proposing to reconstruct a two-family dwelling. The look of the home is incredibly similar to the look of the mixed-use building that was going to be there that was already approved by the board. So since the board of supervisors can only approve demolitions and new structures, this is back before the board for the new structure. We're considering the demolition to have been taken care of previously.
So it's for the approval of the design, right, on this particular
of the new structure? Design, yes. This has been recommended by the design board on both instances.
All right.
As the prior mixed use and as the present proposed.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah. Chuck, I'm
confused. I read this one and I read the next one, the D, the Delta one. Is this, so he's abandoning the whole spa thing, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's, so why was it, well, you saying that in D it's going to be?
Okay, so this is the land development plan that has a spa. This would have required additional parking. This would have required additional pedestrian facilities, sidewalks, and so on. Those improvements have put that project out of reach financially for the applicant.
Right, and we're discussing that.
Was it because it was a change in use? Or what he's proposing different than that?
So when it was going to be, when it was going to be a change of use in commercial building, it required a land development plan. Mm-hmm. You can build a two-family home without a land development plan.
Got it.
And it's essentially replacing what's there now.
That's correct. Now, however, since they've invested considerable money in the land development plan, considered a marketable site, perchance they can't do the two-family home, they want to keep both of them alive until they have all the permits to build the two-family home. And that I get. Mm-hmm. They've made a considerable investment.
So he just wants to keep the option open through item D.
That's correct.
In the event item C doesn't come to fruition.
Something happens and he can't get it right.
So potentially he could convert that first floor into the spa and leave the second floor as an apartment?
The approvals given by the design board were for a two-family dwelling, and that's specifically.
That's it. That, I mean,
there's no PennDOT impact then, period.
That's correct.
All right. I was confused with that because the first floor plan has rooms instead of bedrooms.
You are absolutely right, and not only does it have that, but it has this provision for an approved signage. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why specifically the design board approved it for a two-family dwelling.
So we're only approving for a two-family dwelling?
No commercial.
No,
that's correct.
And that's Charles, right? Or that's, yeah, Charles.
Yes. Please.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Say that.
Who's on first?
If we're tired. Don't.
Yeah, so, we're talking two-family dwelling and only that.
Okay, then what comes? I'll wait till we get to D then.
Yeah.
So once we get to D, C goes away.
So let's talk about the two-family dwelling and only that, because within Derry Township, and I'll use the spice shop as an example, when you take an existing dwelling and you convert it to a commercial use, we typically allow that as long as you're not taking down the walls. You with me? There's multiple examples of that throughout the township. Professional offices, obviously, you know, John's office started out as a house.
You mean you permit that without a land development?
Without a land development,
yeah, right.
Within an existing structure.
So you said it still goes through code and everything.
Right.
And
so could they come back in the future and attempt to convert the first floor? Right now we're hanging our hat on the approval of the design board that was for a two-family dwelling.
Mm-hmm. If
you guys make the same condition with the new build, then I think they would have to at least revisit this board as part of the conversion.
And need a land development plan for item D?
Not necessarily. Because it would be within an existing structure.
Right.
Now, they would still need to meet parking, so they would still need to do stormwater. So
we're surrendering, for lack of a better term, control over the option.
And yet we can't, it's difficult to prevent them from reconstructing the two-family dwelling that's there today.
Right.
And approving what's on the site.
Yeah.
And personally, I'd love to see two-family dwelling or mixed use. So
yeah,
I'd love to see something happen there.
But the point is that I'd like to put that bookmark in that they have to come back and visit.
Okay.
I think that's a good bookmark.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. So, with that discussion, I'll entertain a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve the design of the new two-family dwelling proposed for 102 Reef Avenue as depicted on the information submitted to the Derry Township on October
5th,
2018.
Second.
Bob.
Oh, sorry. I'll make the motion.
That's correct.
I'll make
the motion.
I'm sorry.
I'll second.
Mr. Zamuda seconds that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Item D, which we just spoke about, consideration of a second time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for 102 Reese Avenue, plat number 1278. I believe we just covered that territory. Anything more to add?
Yes, I would just ask that if it is extended, that the conditions listed as items A through J are included as a condition of that extension.
Very well. I'll move that the conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for 102 Reese Avenue, plat 1278, be extended for an additional 6 months, subject to compliance with conditions A through J in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item. I'll entertain a second. Ms. Gore, thank you. Seconding that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and item D passes unanimously. Item E, 1-22, authorization to execute a Keystone Grant Agreement with the Pennsylvania Department of Education for the Hershey Public Library Youth Services Redesign Project. Lauren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is looking for authorization to enter into Keystone Grant Agreement with the Pennsylvania Department of Education for the Hershey Public Libraries Project. It was funded in the amount of $529,784. Laura reviewed the improvements in detail at the time of application submission. In general, they include improved ADA access and a new family entrance, children's area upgrades, and also a new teen area. This funding is going to go towards construction only. Matching funds are being provided from the library endowment to bequests that are currently being held by the township, and also eligible consultant expenses have already been incurred. The funding will cover construction costs only, and the library intends to fund the design costs through the endowment. They're also coordinating with Matt, his department, and RGS as it pertains to stormwater and site design with the rec center project.
Thank you. Any questions or concerns with Lauren? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to accept the Keystone Grant Award of $529,784 from the Pennsylvania Department of Education for the Hershey Public Library's Youth Services Redesign Project, and authorize the Chairman and Secretary to execute the grant agreement. I'll entertain a second.
I'll second that.
Mr. Weir seconds that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is item F132, request the Hershey Downtown Association at Alcoholic Beverages in Chocolate Town Square Park in conjunction with Downtown Hershey's holiday celebration on December 7th, 2018. Lauren.
Thank you. This is a little bit of a cleanup item. As you know, Ordinance Number 553 requires the Board of Supervisors to approve any events in Chocolate Town Square Park requesting alcohol to be on the premises. The Downtown Hershey Association typically requests that for the duration of our Life on Chocolate event season at the beginning of the year. Historically, we haven't had any alcohol in conjunction with the holiday celebration, and just to be clear, we're not proposing any alcohol service at that event. This request would allow us to hold our holiday market. It's the first time we're going to be doing that, and we do have one winery that participates in a lot of our events that will be selling bottles to take home.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Laura on that? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that the Township of Derry allow alcoholic beverages to be on the property of Chocolate Town Square Park in conjunction with the holiday market that will be held as part of Downtown Hershey's holiday celebration. I'll entertain a second. Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is G128, the extension of conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1, plat number 1154. Chuck.
Thank you. If you look at this agenda item, you'll see that we've been extending this plan since 2008. They've again asked for an extension. I have on the screen, as I did last time, they've requested this extension just to help the board understand where the parking is relative to New Park Boulevard. So on the screen, New Park Boulevard is shown by the two red lines that parallel the railroad. Basically, the parking, if it were installed, is still intact. It was permitted under the prior ordinance. Back when the property was zoned industrial, it's now zoned commercial recreation. Of course, we do allow parking there. The use is consistent with the 2015 comprehensive plan and 2017 zoning ordinance. I'm recommending that we entertain another extension.
All right.
Isn't there already parking there?
There is a gravel area there, yes.
Okay.
Chuck, that bridge wasn't safe for regular traffic.
It must be safe for employees. I did not.
You have a question, man. All right.
I'll move that the approval of the final land development, preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World employees that like parking phase one, flat 1154, be extended for an additional 12 months. Whichever comes first. Counter from January 2nd, 2019, subject to compliance with items A through G under the department head recommendation section of the agenda item. I'll entertain a second. Anyone? Second. Mr. Engel seconds that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the motion carries unanimously. And finally, consideration of a partial reduction of the performance security for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Medical Center Academic Support Building Parking Lot Expansion File Number S-2017-023. Chuck.
HRG has reviewed the site and is recommending a reduction in the amount of $887,963, leaving a balance of security of $165,630. We're recommending that the reduction be granted.
Any questions or comments?
So moved.
I'll second it. All those in favor of the motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of $887,963 from the performance security held as PNC credit number 181-29603-00-000 for the stormwater management plan for the Hershey Medical Center Academic Support Building Parking Lot Expansion, file number S-2017-023, resulting in a new balance of $165,630.
May I repeat that?
Sure. I think moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Anything, Mr. Zamuda, correspondence, board, and committee information?
Back two things. I was asked to attend a meeting of the St. Joe of Arc Girl Scout Troop 11535 to discuss my position as a township supervisor and give them a little bit of education on government. This is in pursuance of their citizenship award. It's all under their life skills citizen's badge. Secondly, I want to wish, since I'm not going to be here, it's my last meeting of the year. I'm not going to be here. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. And I want to thank everybody on staff for what they do. We couldn't do it without you. We'd be babbling idiots up here if you guys weren't around. So good job. Happy holidays to you and your families. I'm saying it's good to you all.
Safe travels, sir.
Thank you.
Matt, I have nothing. Susan?
Nothing this evening.
Nothing. That was it. Manager? Nothing. Police department, any reports?
Mr. Chairman, nothing to report, but I would just like to go on record with PP&L, the discussions today. I did express to her that it's very hard to judge sight distance without a pole being there.
Yeah.
So that could, going with the township engineer, I think it's good, but for me to go out and look, I did tell her that it needs to be looked at again if the pole was there for better understanding of sight distance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. First of all, it's your fire company.
Santa runs will start this Saturday and Sunday and run through the week.
Excellent. Ho, ho, ho. Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick thing. We are caught up with leads and on schedule, so hopefully no more delays and we can keep up now.
Fantastic.
Bob, how long do you think you'll continue doing that?
This is the last scheduled week. Typically, though, and this is all weather permitting. Typically, we'll keep a truck on the road or a couple trucks if we can for a couple more weeks.
Excellent. Laura, public library.
Nothing. Thank you.
Sure. Turn it
over. Nothing this evening. Thank you.
All right. Matt?
Just working in the next couple of days to get Chapeltown Park in shape for the holiday celebration on Friday.
Fantastic.
But it looks good.
Yeah. Matt Bonanno.
No report, Matt.
Very good. Chuck?
Nothing more. Thank you.
Lauren?
Also, just a reminder, the Downtown Hershey Association annual board meeting is going to be held this coming Monday evening. Just want to thank also the Bowman Trust and David's Landscaping for helping us to decorate the park. They're going to be doing the light poles for us. And Starbucks had a crew of employees out helping everybody leave in the Chapel Town Square Park last week. So thanks to them as well.
Great.
Obviously, the best of workers.
Jill?
I have nothing, thank you.
Very well. I'll move for the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $41,611.48 and payroll in the amount of $356,281.42. I'll entertain a second. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Now is the time for the second visitor public comment section. Anybody wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, please approach the podium. Come on forward. State your name and address, and if you could limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, we'd really appreciate it.
I am Teresa Peschel, and I live at 48 Cat Street, and I have to say I really didn't know you were going to be discussing PP&L. My concern is the property at 102 Reef Avenue. I was looking at, I knew that it was coming up, and I wanted to see what was happening because it's right down the street from my house. And I'm looking at the elevation that you had, and is it correct that you're going to have two garages opening onto Reese Avenue? It has to be Reese Avenue because the other side is 322. If you're not really familiar with this piece of land, it is really, really skinny. There is actually some foot traffic that you get back and forth on Reese Avenue. Are you going to include any kind of a sidewalk?
It's not required because they're not doing a land development plan.
Ah, okay. If you have not been there at shift change, there is a lot of traffic, and it does back up on Reese Avenue. And the line of sight isn't really very clear when you're going from, when you're crossing Hockersville Road. I would like to see something done with this property, but at the same time, I don't know how well that will work out. It's a very difficult plot. It's too many cars, too much stuff jammed together in too little space. It's almost like that should become a park. So I just wanted to express my concern about what you decide to do with that property because of the grease traffic that we get at shift change three times a day, and they don't slow down for any reason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian Link, 230 West Arriva. I just wanted to touch on two points that were brought up during the PPL discussion. One of the board members said, go beyond what's required and do what's right. And I think there's a requirement for, if the budget exceeds 20% of what was presented, to represent. I think if there is a substantial change or a substantive change, that I think the board really owes the public time to review that. So, you know, the 18th is coming rapidly. The board also implored PPL to delay, to figure out, you know, all the details of that project on Forest staff. And I think that's sort of what I've been echoing this whole time. You know, the township is really rushing into this project with the rec center, the community center, or the regional swim center. And the impact to the community is going to be significant with the amount of large meets that that pool is trying to draw in. And despite all the parking plans, there's going to be a significant impact on the community around it. There's going to be a significant impact on all of the taxpayers within the community. And maybe the advice to just take a step back, figure things out, make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed is good for that project as well, to make sure the revenue's there. It's clear that the grant funding isn't favorable for that project. Maybe there's other revenue sources in the entertainment district. You know, that can get figured out. There could be support for this project, and there could be realistic revenue. But right now, the township is using all of their bonding capacity and only looking at a small revenue source from the capital campaign and predominantly property tax to offset those bonding debt service payments. So I just, you know, there was a lot of advice given to PPL tonight, and I hope that the board seriously takes that advice to do what's right, to take time to make sure we're really getting a project that this township can maintained for the next 50 years. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address the Board of Supervisors? If not, I'll move to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.